the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Aggressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
I shall leave you as you left me, as you left her, marooned for all eternity in the center of a dead planet, buried alive,
Come! And welcome to the Bill Show, and that's just one of my favorite clips from any movie.
Con!
And it's exactly what Paul Manafort was doing when he watched that speech. Ladies and gentlemen, the past 2 weeks, oh my God, it gets crazier, doesn't it, Randall?
Oh,
just gets crazier.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for introducing me, Bill.
Yeah.
Well, we're just
Randall Berger.
We're like an old man. Like an old man.
I know you.
Yeah, the odd couple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Felix and Oscar.
Felix and Oscar.
Yeah, it's been a really, really, really stupid week. Young Donald Trump just can't get any weirder, and it's like. He really doesn't give a fuck. Now they're even talking about him dropping out. Like,
well, they're hoping.
He's saying
it's rigged.
If my numbers
get rigged.
Yeah. No, he's saying
how could anyone not elect such a wonderful candidate?
Yeah, if my numbers are down, and I got numbers, you know, I'm good with numbers. I got numbers.
Can I quote some numbers that came out in the last 2 weeks?
If his numbers go down, he says. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Hillary is up 4 points in Georgia. In fucking Georgia.
Well, it's not far from Arkansas, and that's where she's from.
She's up. He has a 15-point lead nationally. 15 points, according to the Marist poll.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. I have never seen anything like this. And you and I have been following campaigns. It's one of the reasons we do this show together.
Well, that's how it started, yeah.
We follow campaigns. We're very political.
Mm-hmm.
We know history.
Yeah.
And have you ever seen anything like this in your life?
Well, not really. But the point is, well, you know, you had people like, what was Dukakis's vice president turned out to have seen a psychiatrist once.
No, that was McGovern.
Was that McGovern?
That was McGovern Eagleton, yeah.
Yeah, it was that Eagleton had seen a psychiatrist. Oh, dear. Had a nervous breakdown. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And
he had shock therapy when he was younger. So
they did everybody else. Yeah, I do it all the time. I lick my fingers, stick them in the socket. Now, if there's no fork handy, but you know how many toasters I've gone through? You know how many toasters I've gone through?
I know, it tells it, but we're not running the country.
What happens if he does go away? Who's going to take his place?
I have no idea. These guys, I say, the
who are they going to dig up? The nut job from Alaska?
I have no idea. The Republicans are. I swear to God, if I was Trump, I'd watch the brakes on your car and the fuel line on your plane because you have become a liability to a lot of people with money. Now,
that he's actually got a gag order against Ivana and Marla?
Probably.
Because I have not heard a peep.
Well, no, he sues everybody.
No,
you know,
as he actually told Marla Maples and Ivana Trump to keep their mouths shut.
Yeah.
Because I have not seen them in the media. I've not heard them.
True.
I've seen their children. And
that's amazing.
You know.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, let's go over some of the things that has happened because it's a target-rich environment. First of all, this was one of the most moving speeches that I have heard at the Democratic National Convention. And conventions bore me.
Yeah.
Because they're usually politicians. They're hitting the
mark. People, they're just people sucking ass. And all 50, you know, the great state of Rhode Island, you know. And,
yeah.
Where?
I got to say that I always like it when Bill Clinton speaks, because I think he's one of the most phenomenal orators of this or any generation.
He's very good at oral. I understood that. Yeah.
Yes. Stop it. He's very good at explaining very complex things in ways that people can understand. I knew somebody who actually met him, and she said, "I never understood what this whole thing about Clinton was until I was in a room with him." And he said,
"Don't talk with your mouth full, sweetheart."
No. She said that, look, he talks to you. And he really talks to you. He has this ability, this mainline ability, to really talk the way people can understand about incredibly big issues. But this guy, Kaiser Khan, delivered, I think, probably the most effective speech I have heard, simply because he wasn't polished. It was stilted. It was plain speaking from a guy who had lost his kid, his son, who had literally saved his platoon in Iraq. This is a bit of his speech. I got to say, man, I got absolute chills. It was one of the most effective things I have seen politically on stage for a very long time. Here it is. This is Kaiser Khan talking to Donald Trump.
Donald Trump consistently smears the character of Muslims. He disrespects other minorities, women, judges, even his own party leadership. He vows to build walls and ban us from this country. Donald Trump, you're asking Americans to trust you with their future. Let me ask you, have you even read the United States Constitution? I will gladly lend you my copy. In this document, look for the words liberty and equal protection of law. Have you ever been to Arlington Cemetery? Go look at the graves of brave patriots who died defending United States of America. You will see all faiths, genders, and ethnicities. You have sacrificed nothing and no one.
Absolutely amazing.
It is.
I just, you know, you have sacrificed nothing and no one.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, go.
Well, I mean, he sacrificed his son. Even though it's not a personal sacrifice, his son fought for the United States and died heroically and was a Muslim. There were so many Muslim graves in war cemeteries and things. People don't think of faith.
I went to Arlington about 14 months ago with my dad.
Yeah.
It was about 2 years ago. And there are Stars of David, there are crosses, there are Muslims. And that's one of the great things that struck me personally when I was walking through. First of all, it's an amazing place.
Ooh.
It is.
Well, I've been to the war cemetery in San Francisco. And it's huge. It's massive for a lot of the people that were killed in the Pacific. It just goes on for acres and acres and acres. It's almost like an optical illusion. But
it's discomforting because all these people have died.
For you.
Oh, but a lot of the wars. I've been against.
Yes,
and
doesn't,
I
matter.
A,
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But they died. But, they died for the United States.
Absolutely, and they died honorably. They did honorable things for their country. It didn't matter a patchwork quilt in the fucking foxhole whether you're Muslim, whether you're Jewish, or whether you're Christian. Because I'll tell you, that's the great equalizer. And, you know, I thought this was probably, it wasn't political, it was personal. Yeah. It was sitting there saying, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, how dare you say, I have no right to be here?
How dare you? And it was just a simple man getting up, and then Trump had the audacity to attack his wife.
Yeah, and his wife.
His wife.
How come she didn't say anything? How come you didn't allow her to say anything?
Yeah, I know. Hey, don't you Muslims speak on stage? What's the problem?
How come your wife, the wife who did speak, spoke somebody else's words, and the other two wives aren't allowed to speak? So
yeah, I know.
You can shut the fuck up, Donald.
His wives can't say a fucking word. His ex-wives can't say a fucking word. And that's the thing that I think got to everybody personally is that this guy is an asshole. We've been saying it for a long time. And by the way, we've been
saying you've been used other genitalia.
He's crazy.
Other genitalia, not just assholes. Other genitalia, dick.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a cunt.
He's a urethra. Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, left testicle, well, right testicle, all of that. Yeah,
but that wasn't enough for good old Trump, who is amazing. Then he had an event where he basically got a purple heart. This was after the con speech. He got a purple heart from a serviceman who said he wanted to give Trump his purple heart.
Yeah. He had three. He had three of them. So the guy,
and he fucking took it. Here's the clip. This is amazing to me. Hold on, here it is.
You know, something very nice just happened to me. A man came up to me, and he handed me his purple heart. Now I said to him. Is that like the real one or is that a copy? And he said, that's my real purple heart. I have such confidence in you. And I said, man, that's like big stuff. I always wanted to get the purple heart. This was much easier.
I always wanted a purple heart, but this one was much easier. I didn't have to bleed. You know, if you ever see one or held one, they're a very beautiful medal. Yeah. It's just a heart. It's like a heart-shaped cameo of a profile of George Washington.
I love the comment before, and this is like how
and,
much
and
it is.
It's so meaningful because it means you actually were wounded.
Absolutely.
In the line of duty.
My grandfather has a purple heart. He served it for Dunn, and he passed away. And my other grandfather, he has a purple heart because he was also wounded in World War I. My father was a captain in the military, and my best friend was a major who treated kids who came back who got purple hearts from Iraq. So, Donald, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you sideways, sort of. You know, I'm not a militarist.
No, nobody's going to stick anything in Donald Trump, so let's not even use that anymore.
But, you know, you and I are anti-war. That doesn't mean that I disrespect people who go over there.
My father was in Korea. He wasn't there for the whole first year I was growing up. But he arrived the day it was over. He was with a MASH unit, and he says the movies and the TV show were so real.
Really?
Even after the fighting had stopped, there were still a lot of people being injured and killed. And he said, you know, America saw that. And he said, you can take that to the bank. That's how it really was.
What, MASH?
Yeah. The movie especially.
The movie especially. Well, yeah. I mean, that's bloody terrifying. And what I really is tells you a lot
guys
about
doctors with their rubber boots full of blood.
What gives you the real insight into Trump's true character is the comment before where he sits there and goes, hey, is this the real one?
Yeah.
You know? It's like, don't
give
me the fucking...
It's not a copy, yeah.
Yeah, don't
it's
give
not
me
a copy.
The phonies, man. I got three Rolexes at home. I want the real one. You know?
Yeah.
He's such... a douchebag. But after that, you thought, oh, no, that'll be all right. He won't say anything else. This is what he did 2 days after.
He kept saying it, yeah.
This is even better. This is what he did 2 days after that. Here it is.
I have the biggest bank in the world as a tenant of mine in New York. The biggest in the world, a Chinese bank. Don't worry about that, baby. I love babies. So. I love babies. I hear that baby crying. I like it. What a baby. What a beautiful baby. Don't worry. The mom's running around like, don't worry about it, you know? It's young and beautiful and healthy, and that's what we want. Okay. But look. We have the piggy bank. They have ripped us to shreds. Ripped us absolutely to shreds. Actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here. That's all right. Don't worry. I think she would believe me that I love having a baby crying while I'm speaking. That's okay. People don't understand. But that's okay.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
He's the biggest baby in the room. He just can't stand the competition.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. He is a politician that kicked a baby out of an event. And he did it like a member of the Sopranos. He's like, hey, I love babies. They're fucking great. Yeah, you're beautiful. You're running around. Hey, you thought I was kidding about the
get
baby.
Get the fuck out of here.
Huh? I'm trying to speak here, you know? Who the fuck are you? I have her killed. Get the kid out. You know,
that's disgusting.
That's fucking amazing. Oh, my God. Listen, I did want to conclude because... we've been talking a lot about Donald being a little crazy.
A little. Define little. I mean, Mount Rushmore has just got four little faces on it. You know, like, what's little?
No. He's majorly crazy, Craig. he's everything we said, man. And we said it first in this show. He's fucking nuts. He's nuts. He can't help himself. He just can't help himself. They were talking about an intervention. Like in a cult and victim, you know?
Well, they're talking about kicking him out. But,
you do know, you remember what happened with his endorsement of Ryan.
Yeah.
And Ryan balked in endorsing Trump earlier, and he said, I'm just not there yet. So Trump tweeted, I'd like to endorse him, but I'm just not there yet. And I'm sitting there going, what are you for? You're throwing it back at him. And he's a member of your own party whose support you need to win. What is your fucking problem?
Anyway,
this is the last thing that I think should answer everything that all my liberal friends would sit there and say, I'm not going to vote for Hillary because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get in the way of true reform. You know, Trump's in for a term and then Bernie will come back. And I sit there and I go, they're hallucinating.
Bernie will come back,
but we're not going to have to put a sociopath in charge of the nuclear codes because that was actually discussed this week. On Morning Joe, this guy's a guy named General Hayes. He's one of the top advisors to the last three presidents, including George W. Bush and Pappy Bush. He's an old guy who looks like one of those generals, and he was on Morning Joe talking about Trump.
Hey, we got these nukes. Why don't we use them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. This should fry your beanie. If you are listening to this show and you're sitting there going, I'm not sure if I should vote against him, listen to this.
What concerns you most about Donald Trump?
How erratic he is. Joe, I can argue about this position or that position. I do that with the current president. But he's inconsistent. And when you're the head of a global superpower, inconsistency, unpredictability, those are dangerous things. They frighten your friends and they tempt your enemies. And so I would be very, very concerned.
General Hayden, Harold Ford, very, very quickly. Who amongst your peers that you respect greatly, whether they think like you or not think like you, did you know that's advising Mr. Trump?
No one.
That's a good answer.
I have to follow up with that, and I'll be very careful here. Several months ago, a foreign policy expert on the international level went to advise Donald Trump, and three times he asked about the use of nuclear weapons. Three times he asked at one point, if we have them, why can't we use them? That's one of the reasons why he just doesn't have foreign policy experts around.
Trump asked three times.
Three times in an hour briefing, why can't we use nuclear weapons? With that.
Be careful, America, and be careful, Republican leaders.
So, General Hayden.
Your party is blowing up.
I want to ask one more time, and it may be classified, but the steps. Donald Trump decides to use a nuclear weapon. What is the time frame between his decision and when the nuclear weapons are launched?
Joe, it's scenario dependent, but the system is designed for speed and decisiveness. It's not designed to debate the decision.
And you want to vote for Jill Stein? Are you out of your fucking mind? I'm not talking to you, Randy.
No, I know.
Listen, man. I'm serious. I'm like Dennis Hopper in Apocalypse Now. I'm sitting there going, no, you don't understand, man. He's nuts. He's like Colonel Kurtz. He's crazy, man.
Meet again.
Yeah.
Don't know when. Isn't that when Chill Wills goes down the tube with his on riding the nuclear bomb?
That's right.
Yeah. Isn't that what they play at the end of the world?
Say, we'll meet again. Dr. Strangelove, man. Yeah. This is it. Yeah. This is it. If we elect this guy, we're dead.
Yeah. Oh, tell me. Yeah.
We're dead. There ain't no kind of Bernie Sanders movement if you're dead. Okay? Dumb nuts. I am sick of coming to contact with people on the left who know what's going on or are smart enough to know. Let me tell you something. If you're a Trump person, you're not smart enough to know. You're lucky if you can get up in the morning, activate your legs, and fucking use power tools. Trust me. I've met drunk supporters. They're dumb as doornails. But you guys, you're smart.
I think they say, I want to vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because they just want to piss liberals off.
That's what they want. I'm going to take a 2x4 and slap myself on the head with it, and then put a shotgun in my mouth and blow my brains right across my hardwood floor just to piss the liberals off.
Yeah, that's it. I think they're doing it just because it gets everybody angry.
Oh man, it's so crazy. Really, seriously, if you're one of those liberals in America who are debating whether or not, if you're in a swing state, oh fuck it, I don't care. Vote against them. I don't care if you're in a swing state. We cannot take any chances with this. We can't. He's nuts. He is an absolute psycho.
I don't think he's going to get to November. I don't think he's going to get to November 8th.
I hope, I pray, because absolutely. This is like the first 2 weeks, right after the convention. 2 weeks. We got 99 days left. Or not,
2 weeks.
Days.
2 weeks. No,
the
it's about 80-something days. Yeah, the first 2 weeks, and he's already, they're already talking to getting rid of him.
But yeah, and it's also the fact that, man, we got a real chance here. Mm. And I say this honestly. Imagine taking back the House and the Senate. Imagine burying this party so far in shit that it never rears its ugly head again. Imagine appointing 3 three chief justices of the Supreme Court that will guarantee the rights of gay people to live as they want, abortion rights, and put through cheaper education for everybody and get legislation on guns. We can do that now.
Yeah.
But
you've got to vote for it.
You got to vote
blue. Blue, 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 blue.
Absolutely. And he's like, you're compromising the it's the military-industrial complex. Yeah, I got you. I agree with nine-tenths of what you say. But it doesn't matter in this situation. You got to vote against this fucker. I'm sorry, you just got to. Because this is 1932 Germany. Okay?
ABT, anybody but Trump.
Anybody but, no. You vote for Hillary Clinton. Stop fucking around.
Yeah.
Stop fucking around. All right?
All right.
I'm not talking to you, man. I'm reaching through. Please, I love you. You're my friend. All you guys. Do I have to?
I hate her.
Yes, you do.
Stop it. She gives me penis wrinkles. She's terrible.
I know. But this is the. Anyway, that's all I had to say. That's my opening.
That's enough. Well, that's enough. You've said enough.
I've said enough, and I think that we should go on. We got a comedy break. James Corden and Dennis Leary adapted an old song just for the Donald.
These are nice guys.
It's
these
amazing.
Are nice guys, yeah.
Because I think we've all come to this conclusion
Just before you start. Speaking of James Corden, did you see his wonderful carpool karaoke with Michelle Obama?
No, I didn't.
I fell in love with that woman.
Yeah,
he picked her up at the White House, and they drive around and they sing songs, and she was, you think the speech humanized her.
She's a decent person.
Yeah, you go online.
Yeah.
And they talk about what it's like living in the White House, what her code name is, all that. And it's the funniest thing you'll ever see. But I fell in love with that woman. The talk of her running in 4 or 8 years is true. I think she'd be terrific.
I think that she's probably going to have to get some experience before you even think about it. But
what experience? What experience? Donald's never been elected to anything.
She's never held elected office. She needs to hold elected office. She needs to know how the system works.
Yeah.
And being a first lady isn't just it. Well, I'll say and one thing about Bernie is that he knows how the system works. And I want a much more liberal candidate than Michelle Obama. But as a person.
That's true. But the point is that.
Let me get through.
As a popular person.
As a person, I think both Michelle and Barack Obama have shown incredible class. I think they are decent individuals. And if you met them, you'd like them. Don't you think? I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I met Donald Trump, I would hate him because he's an ass. He's an asshole. He's just a fucking asshole. And to that point, here's our break. We'll be back with Randy's rant in just one moment.
In your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7. 24/7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Please welcome the 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton, and former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton.
Thank you. Folks, I'd like to sing a song about the American dream. About me, about you, and about Donald Trump. And that special feeling we all get whenever he speaks.
You know, maybe he's talking from the bottom of his heart. Maybe below his heart. Maybe he's talking out of his ass. We don't know.
We don't really know. I'm just a regular guy, known for one job. I'm your average white ex-presidential slob. I like cheeseburgers and suits and books about defense.
And I'm just a girl fighting for common sense. I got Bill, got Chelsea, I wanna be president. So I dab on Ellen for that Oval Office desk.
But sometimes I just hate enough to keep a man like me interested.
Oh, I know.
I'm sorry again.
And sometimes I vote in favor of war.
Or don't ask, don't tell.
A bad choice.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No matter how bad we can be.
We've never said Mexicans are rapists on TV.
Trump's an ass. He's an ass. What an ass. He's an ass. He's the world's biggest ass.
And I've never asked Russia to hack the USA. or said that my daughter is someone I want to date.
And Trump University is just a big fraud, and Mexico won't pay for that damn stupid wall. Trump's an ass. He's an ass. He's an ass. Trump's an ass. He's an ass. Biggest ass.
He won't show his taxes. He won't even try. He's kicking out babies when they start to cry, while wearing a red, white, and blue Chinese tie. Bleeped?
Yes, Bill. We can't say ass on CBS.
You can't say ass?
No.
Huh. So I can say ass?
Yes.
And I can say hole?
Sure.
But I can't say ass?
Definitely not.
But how can you have an ass without a hole?
I don't know. I mean, I wonder how they'll do this next part.
It's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Just all gather round, and it is the wild wonder at the joy they have found.
Randy's Rant! Randy's Rant! Randy, what do you got for us today?
Oh, look, I'm really ranting. Well, no, I'm not ranting. I'm just disappointed.
Okay.
Every time one of the Obamas, be it mother, father, daughters, says or does anything.
Yeah.
The commentators on the media have to say something.
Yes.
Sometimes it's peppered with the N-word. But I don't think I've ever heard a more eloquent speech, a more uplifting speech than the one Michelle Obama made at the DNC convention.
Yeah, and she was amazing.
Melania Trump will make later.
Yeah. at a dinner table somewhere in Manhattan, Ohio.
Yeah. on a brass colored pole as she spins around. Now, I told you the porn pictures would come out. Now, the point is that she said something as she started.
Yeah.
I'm living in a house that was built by slaves.
Yeah.
It was just a statement.
Yeah.
It was not meant to be anything.
No.
Everybody knows that for 300 years, 200 years, America had slavery, especially in the South. And in 1863, with the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
And later with an amendment to the Constitution, America ended slavery.
They did.
Okay. And, of course, immediately that she said that, the mouth started going.
Now, really?
The first one wasn't too bad. Bill O'Reilly said
Bill
a few
O'Reilly,
things.
Bill O'Reilly,
Bill O'Reilly had something. Bill O'Reilly had something to say.
Oh, what
and then,
a
and then your friend and mine, Rush Limbaugh, chimed in as well. Let's have a listen, firstly, to Bill O'Reilly, which is not bad, which he just is quite frank, but he's saying, look, it wasn't that bad. They weren't whipped or anything. they were fed, and they had somewhere to live.
Let me get this straight. He's defending slavery.
Well, you know, he's defending he put a positive spin on it.
On that, slavery.
On the slaves that built the White House.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, all but, right. But Rush Limbaugh was worse. Anyway, let's have a listen to our friend Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
As he talks about Michelle Obama's quite innocent statement about living in a house built by slaves.
Bill O'Reilly, the guy employed by the, you know, serial molester.
Factor tip of the day. As we mentioned, Talking Points memo, Michelle Obama referenced slaves building the White House and referring to the evolution of America in a positive way. It was a positive comment. The history behind her remark is fascinating. George Washington selected the site in 1791 and his president laid the cornerstone in 1792. Washington was then running the country out of Philadelphia. Slaves did participate in the construction of the White House. Records show about 400 payments made to slave masters between 1795 and 1801. In addition, free blacks, whites, and immigrants also worked on the massive building. There were no illegal immigrants at that time. If you could make it here, you could stay here. In 1800, President John Adams took up residence in what was then called the Executive Mansion. It was only later on they named it the White House. But Adams was in there with Abigail, and they were still hammering nails. The construction was still going on. Slaves that worked there were well-fed and had decent lodgings provided by the government, which stopped hiring slave labor in 1802. However, the feds did not forbid subcontractors from using slave labor. So Michelle Obama is essentially correct in citing slaves as builders of the White House, but there were others working as well.
There were no illegal aliens except the ones we kidnapped from Africa.
Well, there were no illegal aliens because if you could get to America, you could stay there.
You know, what really bothers me, Randy? It's all what? those bludging slaves. They're on the government payroll. We gave them someplace to sleep.
Well, it takes Fox to put a positive spin on slavery in the 21st century.
Oh, my fucking God.
Jesus. Okay, now you ain't heard nothing yet. Oh, now your friend and mine who still hasn't moved to Puerto Rico.
Rush Limbaugh said he would. Yeah.
But then he found out they had Obamacare already.
Yeah.
just like Australia, just like Canada.
Okay.
Let's have a listen to how Rush put this.
God help me. Rush Limbaugh on slavery. Here it is.
No matter when or what the occasion, they can't stop talking about slavery. And largely in a context of, hey, you know what? It isn't settled yet. Hey, you know what? We haven't fixed it yet. I mean, that's their starting point. And I think that's a no-win situation for us. Because we've made great strides. This country has made phenomenal strides since then. Imagine that your wife has an affair. But you and your wife get together and you decide that you're going to forgive her. You're going to look past it for the sake of the marriage and your kids, and you move forward. He said, okay. Now imagine, sir, every argument you have, you continue to remind her that she's to blame for everything because she's the one that had the affair. I said, your relationship doesn't have a prayer if you can't let it go. If all you can do is continue to remind her what you've already forgiven her for, then the days of your relationship are over. And the grievance industry does, they don't want solutions. They want to be able to do just that, no matter what progress, no matter what agreements, no matter what. They don't want to acknowledge that anything has been done.
And so that's Rush Limbaugh's opinion of the Obamas. It's like somebody who had a marital affair. That's slavery. And supposedly we were forgiven, but we keep bringing it up. The Obamas.
Imagine the nerve. Bringing that up.
The Obamas keep bringing up slavery just because they're black.
Yeah, conflating a marital squabble with enslavement of a race and genocide?
Yeah, especially Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh all of their wives and children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, that's my rant. I'm just pissed off that rich white guys keep making fun of the Obamas. And in this case, because she equated the house where she lives and the fact that black people are now living in a house built by slaves. Look how far we have come. That was the message.
Let me put forward something to you that I think that is interesting.
Yeah.
When we sit there and we look at the Trumpites, you know, and I call them the Trumpites because
The Trumploadites, yeah.
The Trumploadites. When you look at the Trumploadites, this is the shit that's been leaking into their skulls for the past 15 years.
Or more.
This is the toxic waste, bullshit, non-fact, complete and utter propaganda. They are brainwashed.
But how did how did they get sucked in by Ben Carson?
Well, no, they have no choice to be, because basically the starting point is that blacks are a bunch of entitled people, inferior. Yes.
Yeah.
Racism is a part and parcel of what Trump does. Yeah. It is exactly what Trump does.
Are we going to see an end to reverse affirmative action now?
No.
Let's send more rednecks to college.
That's what this election's about. This election is about basically stopping this guy who is a fascist. I mean, he is quite simply a fact. I mean, who compares a marital squabble to the genocide of a people? I mean, those people were packed in boats. They were tossing bodies over the side. If you are making that comparison, either you don't understand slavery or you're a fucking racist turd.
Yeah, but it's just like Hitler. He just found somebody to blame, and he said, these people are to blame for the inflation we had in the 20s and all of that sort of stuff. It's their fault.
Yeah, but if you look, let me tell you something. If you look at a Trump rally, look out there. Those are Rush Limbaugh's children. Those are Bill O'Reilly's children.
Yeah.
The responsibility for this whole thing lies not only with the Republican Party, who are basically good Germans and have been taking advantage of these fascists for years, but also Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes and Fox News. This is what Fox News
and Rupert Murdoch. But the point is that
Rupert Murdoch,
the first great Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, is the one who put the end to slavery.
I know.
He's spinning in his absolute grave.
Of course he is. Yeah. Of course he is.
Anyway,
Please. Yeah. What do you got?
I've got my religious extremist of the week.
Ooh, I love it.
You know me. The God botherers just really get my goat.
And then they
sacrifice it and read its entrails. So here's my religious extremist of the week, a good friend of the show, Stephen Anderson.
Stephen Anderson, nut job religious of the week. Here he is.
And also, you know what? Wives with their husbands. You know, and here's the thing. We live in a society where husbands don't have any authority over their wives. For some people. But you know what? The Bible teaches that the husband's the head of the wife and that the wife should obey their husband. Whether that's popular or not, that's what the Bible says. And you know what? It's not an anti-woman thing. I can show you my phone after the service. I get an email every day calling me misogynistic. What a stupid word. But this is like a new word. I never heard that when I was a kid. I didn't hear that. Did you hear that growing up? It's this new cool, you know, Pastor Anderson, you're so misogynistic. See, I don't go with all your little trendy words and all your little trendy concepts. You know, people have been doing it my way for the last 6,000 years in all cultures, pretty much, in all nations of the world. And it's worked out great for a lot of people. But all of a sudden, we're supposed to get on this trendy little faggoty type of a relationship where, you know, my wife and I are supposed to dress the same, act the same, look the same, talk the same, live the same lifestyle, have the same authority. You know, that frankly, that just doesn't appeal to me. Being a
Yeah, Stephen, I was learning the word misogyny when obviously you were learning the word faggoty.
Sodomy.
Faggoty. I've never heard that word. That's a very good word. Faggoty.
Yeah, faggoty. And your wife, she's under me. Yeah.
Assholy would be according to you. Man.
Assholutely. Is that what you said?
Assholutely.
That's a new word, absolutely.
Why do you find so many people, you know, if Jesus ever came back, he'd never stop throwing up.
He says, I won't come back, man. Because I'm a Middle Eastern Jewish refugee.
That's right. He wouldn't get in the country.
He was he's black. he's a darker color. They'll crucify me, he said.
That's hilarious to me. If all these ultra-religious guys like Ted Cruz, if Jesus came back as an Arab, you would keep him out of the country.
He's That's a refugee. Hilarious. He went to Egypt.
Absolutely.
He's a Palestinian Jew.
One of those ragheads. You can't
He wasn't
trust
a
him.
Christian. Yeah, no, diaperheads. They called him diaperheads.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to be back with a few tinfoil hats at the end of our incredible show. What is it now?
Yeah.
Is it 154 or 53?
153.
153. When will they stop? We'll be back in one moment.
And finally, new rule from now until Election Day, everything else, every issue, every fight, every cause has to take a backseat to defeating Trump. Mm. He's like an infection. You don't fool around with it. Look, we all have our issues that are important to us. And so just to lead by example, let me say that I will take my own close to the heart pet cause, pot legalization, off the table. And you know me, I have seeds in my urine. But if someone told me that pushing for pot might cost Hillary Ohio until November 8th, I'm just gonna shut the fuck up about it. Now, I know liberals are feeling pretty good about Hillary's chances this week, but history has taught us that Democrats are pretty good at blowing elections, and Republicans are masters at winning elections with solutions in search of a problem. And the problem they're imagining lately is that the transgendered, or sex fiends pretending to be transgendered, roam America's restrooms in drag, looking for a chance to watch people pee. Okay, here's what we can't do this election. Get tricked into symbolic fights about college campus pet peeves. Hillary, if someone asks you if Christmas is unfair to the disabled because the reindeer laugh at Rudolph's nose, just say, I don't care. I know we're liberals, and there's an infinite list of ideas for making the world better by making it less like Duck Dynasty. But there's no room for boutique issues in an Armageddon election. And look, I'm on the side of people peeing where they want. It's an inalienable right. I believe it was Patrick Henry who once said, nobody beats the Whiz. And I'm not suggesting that we throw the transgendered under the bus or discount their struggle. It can't be easy finding pantyhose when you're 6'4". But this is exactly the kind of culture war issue that rousts a certain type of voter out of their trailers on election day. As we speak, Ann Coulter is finishing a new book called Urination, How Liberals Are Giving It to America in the Can. Let's not die on this hill, because I've seen this movie before. In the 2000 election, Al Gore distance himself from a very successful Clinton administration because the Republicans made it seem like every time Monica blew Clinton, he was holding her hair. And then there was 2004, when George W. Bush got caught invading the wrong country, so they changed the issue to gay marriage, because this was before gay marriage was popular. Even in 2008, Obama was still saying this.
I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman.
No. Did he say that because he meant it? No. He just wanted the distraction off the table to make sure a meth head didn't wind up a heartbeat away from the Oval Office.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight.
Randy! It's time for hats!
I love the tinfoil hats!
Oh! Yay! Hey, cheer squad! Do we love the tinfoil hats? Of course we do!
Brought to you by Alcoa, yeah. The friendly foil.
The friendly okay. foil. you're up,
oh,
man.
Oh, my first cab off the rank. Okay.
Your first cab off the
Americans won't understand that. It just means like, you know, when you line up the taxis, it's the first cab waiting for a passenger.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Now, my thing is, when people are asking me about Donald Trump, a lot of Australians will say, how stupid are Americans? Are they really that stupid?
Yeah.
And my answer is, well, apart from yours truly, yes, they are. But
some aren't.
I decided to go out and find out just how stupid Americans are. So,
oh dear.
Well, this is actually from an Australian television show. It is basically a segment on how stupid are Americans. So,
don't pick on America.
Sorry, I'm not picking on America. I'm picking on Americans. Okay.
Good. Considering most of the people listening to this show are Americans.
Well, I hope this embarrasses the shit out of them. Because you've got people.
Oh, listen,
you say,
the people
what,
who listen
when
to this
did,
show,
when did
Randy?
9/11 happen? What was the date? Oh, gosh, I don't know. Oh.
The people who listen to this show and our listeners. Are incredibly intelligent perceptive.
Fine. The people in this clip are not.
And I'm not just brown-nosing.
The people in this clip are not.
What's that?
The people in my clip are not. No. Play the clip, Bill.
Play the clip, Bill. Here it is for our tinfoil hat from Randy this week on 154.
Look, I know a lot of people give Americans a bum rap for being stupid and knowing nothing about the world, but the reality couldn't be further from the truth. As I discovered on the streets here, asking US locals about the very world their country runs.
Name a country that begins with U.
Yugoslavia?
With U, Utah.
A country that starts with a U.
Utopia.
Who's in the coalition of the willing?
No freaking idea.
Afghanistan, Kuwait.
Iraq, Pakistan, you know?
New Zealand?
New Zealand.
What's the religion of Israel?
Israeli.
Muslim.
Islamic.
Catholic, probably.
What religion are Buddhist monks?
Buddhist monks.
Islamic,
I don't know.
Who won the Vietnam War?
We did. Wait, were we even in the Vietnam War? Okay, good.
Who is Fidel Castro?
A singer.
How many sides does a triangle have?
Damn, four.
There's no sides. One.
What is the currency used in the United Kingdom?
What's the currency in the United Kingdom?
What is it in the United Kingdom? I don't know.
Possibly American money.
Queen Elizabeth money? That's all I know.
Name a country that begins with U.
A country?
Yeah. What about this one?
What?
United States of America.
In terms of the war on terror, who do you think should be the next country to invade?
Saudi Arabia.
Somebody in the Middle East.
We'll make a big glass crater out of the fucking Middle East, for all I care.
I'm thinking Italy.
Italy.
Mm-hmm. Cuba.
Cuba?
Yeah.
Iran.
Iran? Why is that?
I think there's a revolution going on pretty soon.
Russia, China.
India and Pakistan.
Indonesia, Brazil.
Korea.
Korea? Sure. Yeah, why do you say that?
They're trouble.
They're trouble? Yep, okay. What's trouble about them?
Their attitude.
Canada.
Sri Lanka? Right here.
Ah.
Never heard of it.
Iran?
Iran? Yeah. Okay. All right, do I put a number one in Iran there?
Yeah, Iran sounds good.
My favorite question is, what state does Kentucky Fried Chicken come from? God, I don't know. Chicken, I don't know.
It is utterly terrifying. And you're sitting there thinking, listen, I could go around any country and I would have that result.
But the
No.
I think most Australians are fairly well informed because we watch the news and things like that. But I can't believe that some of the answers those people gave.
But we travel.
Well, it's not that we travel. We just are aware. Maybe it's because we're multicultural. We're not so insular. I just had to play that because...
It is us. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're Americans, yeah. But I'll tell you something, is that once you get out of that bubble, and there is, we've been watching a lot of American television. I was watching CNN, and I was watching the ads. I'll tell you, man, Americans are in a hideous bubble, and the hideous bubble is 24-hour news, and the ads that are just aimed at making you fearful every time you look at the television.
I don't understand. My father's like this. I mean, he has no idea what's beyond Los Angeles, what's beyond New York.
Yeah.
They are so insular, they have no fucking idea.
Well, some of the smartest people I know are both conservative and liberal, live in the United States. But there is a subculture there, and that's why Donald Trump sits there and goes, hey, I love uneducated people. Of course he does. Because that's his precinct, man. That's it. These people really shouldn't be allowed near any power tools, you know, because they are woefully ignorant of public policy. They're lazy. They have no interest in learning anything.
I just want my guns. I want my guns.
And I will give you money. Half of them are religious. Yeah. I will give you money on that.
So don't be anti-religion, Bill.
I'm not. I'm just saying, you want to take that back?
What does Marx say, the opiate of the people? Well, the Americans are mainline junkies. If religion is the opiate of the people, they're mainline junkies.
When America started purveying Republican and conservative dogma into churches, of the evangelistic churches, that's when the GOP became a cult. Yeah. And it did. It became a fucking
America
cult.
Is a Christian country.
Well, that's when you talk to the Trump supporters and you confront them with facts, and it doesn't matter. That's culting. That's a cult.
They're drinking the Kool-Aid. Jim Jones was right.
You have absolutely. It's a cult in America, and it's not the majority, but it's a good 30% of the population.
Yes, but people don't want to piss off the cultists. They're afraid of them. They're intimidated by them.
Well, I think it's about time we got rid of the zombies in the mall.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they can live there. You know, fantastic. I think we should build some schools for them and deprogram the lot of them. But I also think that, you know what? You don't get the pointy sticks anymore. I'm sorry, you just don't.
Yeah, that's true.
If you start regulating the media, if you start taking the money out of politics, if you start giving people a chance to get highly educated, that's going to change.
Yeah. Well,
keeping people stupid is a feature. It is not a byproduct. It is a feature of American capitalism right now and American policy. Keep people stupid.
Keep them stupid. Now, well, let me hear yours. You missed one. You missed one last week. Oh, by the way, it's show 153.
Oh, I said 5-4.
That's okay.
Sorry,
who's counting?
this woman I had to give because, you know, during the time in which Trump decided to be the world's largest dumpster fire, he had all these bimbos coming on the news shows to kind of, you know, try to control the damage.
Oh, this isn't his spokeswoman, is it?
This is his spokeswoman.
This lady is fucked in the head.
It's fucking amazing. And I have nothing but contempt for these people because these people are paid whores. That's what they are. They're paid whores. And they
That's
have
an
sold
oxymoron,
their soul
isn't it?
To the site. That's right. But the thing is, sorry, but the thing is that this is her. Now, as a defense against Khan's speech at the DNC, Trump tweeted out that it's Obama's fault that Khan's son died.
In 2004.
Neglecting the fact that it was George W. Bush who was in charge.
It was in 2004. Yeah.
So it's completely wrong. And they asked a Trump spokesman, this woman, which I'm going to try to find out what her name is. Oh, God, I got to find her name. It's here somewhere. This is a Trump spokesman who is on. He's one of these bimbos. And she's justifying. Her name is Katrina Pearson, and she's on CNN. Watch how she switches the argument.
Yeah, Katrina Pearson, but she, I don't know. She's like, you know, I'm not sure.
This is an amazing piece of clips where even CNN was amazed at this woman when she was trying
to
pull.
But have you seen the jewelry she wears? It looked like bullets and stuff. She's crazy.
So here it is from CNN, and she's my tinfoil hat of the week. Katrina,
she should be the tinfoil
hat.
She's in the running for tinfoil hat.
You're an amazing whore. And I'm not saying that because you're
a
female.
She's in the running for tinfoil hat of the year.
Here we go. Katrina, tell it like it is, girl.
Katrina, do you want to apologize to Mr. Khan?
Apologize for the timeline. What I was talking about is the fact that Donald Trump has no connection to anything having to do with Captain Khan, who was a brave war hero. The timeline is very simple and true, Allison. Hillary Clinton voted for the war in Iraq. She did not support the surge. Barack Obama made things worse by invading more countries than President Bush did. They did change the rules of engagement and got tens of thousands of soldiers that were killed.
Uh-huh. But he was killed in 2004 when George W. Bush was president.
Get it? Allison, may I chime in, please?
But Donald Trump wasn't there. That is the only point. That is the only point. Donald Trump is being blamed for something he had nothing to do with, and he did not attack this family.
You were blaming President Obama.
I had nothing to do with it.
Katrina, the words that you use probably cost his life. President Obama and Hillary Clinton changed the rules of engagement that probably cost his life. You do acknowledge now that there you were just wrong.
Well, absolutely. That's why I use probably, because I was just going through the timeline. Because since then, we have had tens of thousands of soldiers that have been lost, 1 million wounded, $6 trillion later. How can we possibly put any of the onus on Donald Trump? It is absolutely absurd. And that's why you see all this confusion surrounding this issue, because Donald Trump had absolutely nothing to do
with
it. But
no one was blaming Donald Trump for Captain Khan's death. You were blaming President Obama, and he wasn't president yet.
No, I was talking about Hillary Clinton specifically voting for the war, and that was during that time period.
Katrina, you acknowledge you got it wrong.
Donald Trump did not vote for that war, period.
Donald Trump, in an interview in 2000, he said he was supportive of the war before the invasion.
He did not choose to send troops.
He was a private person.
He was a private person. Barack Obama did not vote for the war.
That's my point, Allison. That's my point. That's why this is a ridiculous conversation. Donald Trump had nothing to do with sending troops like Captain Khan into Iraq to begin with.
Nor
That's
did he have anything to do with opposing it until after the war had begun and wasn't going well.
But it doesn't matter. He had nothing to do with this war that sent Captain Khan over there. I mean, that's the whole point here. Mr. Trump had nothing to do with this, but somehow, for the last few days, This has been revolving around a war and Donald Trump, something that he had nothing to do with.
Ballless, soulless, spiritless, corporate little bitches, suckers of Satan's cock, each and every one of them. Suck Satan's cock. Put that big scaly pecker down your gullet. Drink that black worm jism. Drink it! Fill your little bellies.
Hey, Katrina, that's for you.
Oh, God, Katrina.
Because you're a whore. You are an amazing
that
whore.
Woman.
I'm not saying that to deride you as a woman. I'm saying suck Satan's cock,
yeah,
baby.
But the point, also the point is, how on earth could Donald Trump vote for anything? He's never been elected to any position of responsibility.
I know, and she tried to make herself the victim after she accused Obama for being responsible for Khan's son's death.
Yeah.
This woman knows the madness that she is working for, and she is taking money to do it.
Yeah.
Every one of the Republicans who have endorsed Trump, suck Satan's cock, you bastard.
Well, can I be honest with you, Bill?
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully I'm honest with you most of the time. I would take money for Donald Trump.
You know what? I wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
I can't do it.
If it came down to it, I'd probably do that. And sleep with Michael Jackson's corpse.
No. There's certain things I'd do for money. You know, there's certain things I'd do
we're
for
both
money.
We're both actors, Bill. I think
there have been things
we've done for money that were questionable.
I turned down gambling ads when they first brought in casino gambling, and I was there was a time in which I did a lot of voiceovers, and I just wouldn't do the ones for casino gambling because I thought it's harmful. But I'll tell you something, you know, there aren't many ads that I would have turned down, but if I had somebody came up and said, here's $10,000, would you do an ad for a Trump casino? I wouldn't do it.
No, probably.
Fuck them.
Well,
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. I just can't. Biologically, I couldn't do it.
Well, we should put, actually,
I
you know, speaking of biologically, we should play your ad for Nando's Chicken about Bill Clinton's special. I've got a copy. You know,
you have a copy of that ad I did years ago. In 1992, I got the Golden Stylus Award for radio commercial.
No, it's later than that because it was Monica Lewinsky's.
Well, it's 1998.
Yeah,
that's right.
Monica Lewinsky. And the thing was, is that that went from concept to air within five hours. So it's a record. And it's a 90-second radio commercial. I used to use it in my tertiary advertising class.
Thank you.
Well, not because of you, I mean, but because of just how amazing radio is as a medium. That you can have things on air so quickly. But it is...
That was one of those magic times where you just walked in and you saw the copy and you went, yeah, we'll make this funny.
Yeah,
and
it was.
It was. It was
Bill,
a funny
Bill Clinton's special sauce on Monica Lewinsky that got spilt on...
It was a chicken joint.
On Monica Lewinsky's dress.
The guys who wrote it were very fun. Nobody's fun anymore in advertising. They're all kind of like lorded over by...
in Australia, but in America, you know, the ad is 5 seconds of ad and 55 seconds of disclaimer.
Yeah, I know. I love a good ad. I love an ad that makes me think or make me want something.
Yeah.
But I love wit. I love wit that is used to sell things.
Well,
there
are some great ones out there. Yeah. Well, I used to use that one, and I used to use the one for medical insurance about these two guys, two handymen doing their own knee surgery because they couldn't afford health insurance. I mean, those are funny.
Next show, bring along that clip.
Yeah, okay.
You bring me one of yours, and we'll play him for the people.
Okay.
Because God knows no one will care anyway, because we're old actors.
And they're usually for things that don't exist in America anyway.
That's right.
Oh, Billy, I love doing this show. Why don't we just do it continuously? Why don't we just have
a
wear a mic? No, we'll just wear a mic and we'll start talking and recording.
Oh, Jesus, no. Jesus, no. There is a tolerance level. I think, you know that show I did that was an hour and a half about 2 weeks ago? I promise never to do that again.
Yeah.
Never, ever
Our
again.
Sesquicentennial show, number 150.
Yeah.
You spoke for an hour and a half, and I spoke for five minutes.
Yeah. I did. I was an asshole. Sorry. And speaking of that,
what do you mean? What do you mean was? Oh, is it time?
Ow!
We'll meet again. Don't know where.
Well, listen. Before we go out, let me say hello to Val. Let me say hello to Patsy in Indiana.
Yeah, Patsy Rudnicki. In Indiana.
And Nikki, and AK, if you're listening, my friend AK, who's one of my lovely friends here in Australia, is also a fan of the show. AK, if you listen, I love you. We all love you because they're like some of my best friends. No, it's a guy.
Oh, that's all right.
He's a lovely guy. He's an ex-teacher. He's fantastic.
Okay.
He's one of the nicest people in the world. He's absolutely incredible.
I
sounded like Trump there, God. He's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. Oh,
excuse me.
So anyway, if you want to catch us, you can catch us on thebillshow.net. That's right, thebillshow.net, everything Bill Show in one place. Randy's been to the site. We've got new stuff there for you.
Yeah.
Also, expatprogressive at pod.podbean.com is our home. You can also get us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Player FM.
Oh, at least.
At least, as well as some other things. We're not sure. We're going to leave you with the dulcet tones of Dennis Leary so that you can remember one thing about Trump. He's an asshole.
Okay.
We'll be right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Okay. We're taking a cold shower. We'll multiply that by 15 million times. That's how pissed off the Duke's going to be. I'm going to get the Duke and John Cassavetes and Lee Marvin and Sam Peckinpah and a case of whiskey and drive down to Texas.
Hey, you know, you really are an asshole.
Why don't you just shut up and sing this song, pal?
I'm an asshole.
And I'm proud of it.